as we constantly say, and one of the tenets of what I teach is that life supports that what supports life. Meaning when you do things for yourself, and that's looking back on it, why I was so powerful as this kid from Maryland that became really powerful, life supports that what supports life. And so we're taught to have goals for ourselves, to be, you know, self-empowered, to be self-respecting, to support ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to have self-confidence. And that's great. And to be self-actualized. Most people don't even do that. And so if you get to have that empowered sense of self, your personal power, all of that, you're ahead of 90% of people. But if you constantly show up at a sales meeting, at a business meeting, or in a relationship only for yourself, people feel it. And so when you show up, like the man that shows up not just for himself, but for his family, more of him shows up. He's got more reasons. He's got some drive there. There's something that's bigger than himself. He's connected to other people. And then when you show up for your community, now you show up for people that aren't even your blood. And you're truly the sense of self, where just like the same level of self-care that you have for yourself, you also extend to other people. Like, we're in this together, this like a sense of team. But like that's, and Tony says this at the event, like one of the best distinctions you can have around success, the secret is to be a team player and realize everybody's on your team. And that there's a different tonality to your voice when you talk to somebody like, hey, like I'm here for you, and you challenge somebody, like step up and you push them, and you're not talking down to them. You're like, hey, let's do this. There's a different level of, I'd say, a sincerity, a connection. There's a different quality to the tone of somebody's voice where they're getting you to do it, not for their reasons, but for yours. And they're really connected there. And as we say, be hard on the problem, but easy on the person. And so I believe that people are amazing, and they have thoughts and ideas and patterns and behaviors that take them out of line with who they really are. And so I want to cut the fear, the anxiety, the stress, the indecision out of somebody like a disease so that they can be empowered. And so when I see somebody that say that is waffling, should I buy this? Should I not do this? You know, and they're kind of waffling. I'm getting them to make a decision for themselves, to be a decision maker, a leader, an influencer in the world, not to get them to buy my shit. So it's different than saying, hey, make a decision to buy my shit. Or as opposed to, hey, where does it show up in your life that you can't make decisions about what you want to do? How long have you been off your path? Where's that showing up in the other areas of your life where you can't make a decision? And so, you know, you say you want to sleep on it, but here's the thing. A slow decision is not a good decision. An informed decision is a good decision. If you're an entrepreneur and you're competing out there with other entrepreneurs, and you have a habit of wanting to sleep on it or take a week. After 7 days, once you have all the information, 7 days have passed. Has the information changed? No. The only thing that's changed is you've wasted a week. A slow decision is not a good decision. An informed decision is a good decision. So now you've wasted a week and other people are way ahead of you. And if you're taking time, you know, successful people act with a sense of urgency. Once they get the information, they move. I say this paralysis by analysis, being in your head, not making a decision. Successful people make decisions. Think and Grow Rich, number one success book out there, in my opinion, it's amazing. Number one of the top causes of failure, indecision. Henry Ford, you know, President of the United States, a good parent. What do they do all day? They make decisions. Decision-making ability is a skill, and I said, right now, you're waffling. You know, and so I will rip these things out of these people like a cancer, not to get them to buy my thing, but to get them to step up for their own life. And so if they feel that, I can be very hard on the problem, but empower them. So I'm not putting them down. I'm getting them to separate their behavior from their identity. And that's something I teach. You know, you wouldn't say to a child like, hey, Johnny, you're bad. You would say, little Johnny, you're freaking amazing. You're so amazing. You're so perfect. But this behavior is not like you. So I want to separate behavior from identity. Lift the person up, but separate their behavior where they can look at that behavior and see that that behavior that they're waffling in is incongruent with the best version of themselves and say, look, I'm here to get you to step up to the next version of you. But you tell me this waffling, how long has that been going on? What does it cost you? Where they can attach some pain to that and see what they've missed out on in the past, what they're missing out on now, how much money they're not making, what's missing out on their relationships because they can't make a decision. They're not a leader. How is that really affected? And if they can associate some pain to their indecision, they will start to make decisions. So that's the whole pain pleasure principle. But going back to what I said, life supports that what supports life. We do something for ourselves. That's great for our family, our community, society, humanity. You know, that's Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, you know, a lot of these people, their words transcend space and time. And even now, after they've gone, their words and their birthdays are still celebrated, you know, because they've had an impact, because they spoke to humanity. They didn't just speak for themselves or for their family. Their words transcended space and time, and so that's why they're still making an impact today well after they're gone. And so that's the ultimate level of influence that we should all aspire to get to, excuse me, in my opinion. Because even if, like, you're a Steve Jobs and you have this company, Apple, you create a culture, the depth and breadth of your influence is so long and lasting, the culture is still there, even after he's gone. His name still means something. And if you want to be a business owner and you don't want to be working constantly in your business, but on it, take vacations and travel on all that stuff, you can't be babysitting everybody. Your depth and breadth of influence needs to be so deep and lasting and so structured and so clear inside of the community that you can leave for a month and come back to your business and it's not in shambles because your influence has been felt after you've been gone. So this isn't just for the people that want to be Gandhis and Mother Teresa's. This is for the successful business owner. They need to understand little things in their communication that can make them more effective as a leader so they don't have to be in their business all the time.